Welcome, members and friends of Cross Point Church, and all who may have joined us for worship of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is our great privilege to still be able to worship Him. Since last night, new restrictions were put in place, caught us by surprise. We can now only have five people maximum gathered here. So we've had to ask four of our praise team members and others support volunteers to stay home, but we will do our best to lead in worship. We're certainly living in unprecedented times, in uncertain times, anxious times. But God's on the throne, He is our comfort, and we will worship Him because He deserves our praise. So let's do the best we can to give Him praise. I invite you now to receive God's greeting. Our help in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and in fact in all times, during all situations, our help has always been in the name of the Lord, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ his Son, who is seated on the throne through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. Valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow.
Praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me and would never leave me, and I've never been the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise.
Join me in prayer. God, we lift our eyes to you. You are our hope. You are our source of peace. We lift our eyes to you because we know you hear us. We know you love us. We know you are with us. And we trust you.
We're going to affirm our faith, our trust in our awesome God, with the words that you hopefully will see on the screen there. Now, it may feel strange to say it out loud when you might be by yourself or few in number in your homes, but we encourage you to confess this together with all of us, or confess it in the quiet of your heart as we say together.
I believe that everything God reveals in his word is true.
I also believe that true faith is not only a knowledge and conviction, it is also a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation.
Strong. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's
give a little bit of a children's message, and I'm going to come down here, and if you are one of the kids from our church or anyone that's watching, gather around. I want to think through a couple things with you, ask a couple questions. You ready? You gathered around? Okay. I spy with my little eye something that is brown. Can you see it? Well, of course you can't see it. I'd be very surprised if you could. But I see it, and I'm thinking that maybe you believe me when I say that I spy something brown with my eyes. I hope that you trust me. Jerry, could you show them what I'm looking at? Can you see it? The cross of Jesus Christ. And that's how we remember that he loves us. He gave his life for us. Yeah. Beautiful. I spy with my little eye some very special people. Oh, there's not very many of them. But I can see them. I know they're here. You know they're here? Well, you've seen a couple of them. You can't see the others, but they're here. You know it, even though you can't see them right now. Yep. Did you know that there's also some very special creatures all around us right now in this church? Probably around, no, for sure, around your home. Angels. Can you see them? Well, I see them. Oh, not with these eyes, but I do see them with the eyes of my heart. And we know that God is all around by his Holy Spirit. There are things we just can't see with our eyes, but they're there. We know it. Lots of things. There's some bad things, too. We can't see, but we know they're there. The coronavirus, right? COVID-19. It's a bad thing. We can't see it. I mean, if you have a microscope. But most of us can't see that kind of thing, but we know it's there, right? And fear. Can you see fear? Well, not with our eyes, maybe, but it's there. But even more than fear, even bigger than fear, there's God. And there's his love. Can you see love? What does love look like? Can you see the feeling called love? You can't see love, can you? You can see its effects. You can see people who love you and take care of you. We can see doctors and nurses and others taking care of us. We can see parents loving us and all kinds of examples. And, of course, God, he's the one whom we see love. Through him, the best of all. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love. You are the cornerstone. You are the rock. You are our strength. You are our hope. And as we turn to your word, we're trusting that you will speak to us. We're trusting and we're counting on you to bless us as we read your word, as I preach it. Thank you, God, that your spirit transcends physical space. human limitations, and you will speak to us. Grow our faith, Lord. Strengthen our trust as we now turn to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 34 is what we're turning to, Psalm 34. And if you have your Bibles, either on your phones or your big Bibles, the hard copy Bibles, hey, in these virtual reality times, hard things are nice, hard copies. It's good to have some good solid stuff to hang on to. Psalm 34. The first 10 verses. Now, I've decided that given the times that we're living in, to change the sermon I was going to preach. We were going through the Blood of Christ series, and I may do that next week, put off till next week what I was going to preach this week, because I think it is quite appropriate, the blood of Christ, the cleansing blood of Christ. We'll see about that. But today I wanted to focus on the fear, the anxiety that some of us might be facing. So the Blood of Christ series for Lent, we'll save that for next week. For now, Psalm 34, the first 10 verses. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord, remember angels that we can't see? But the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the material world that we live in, you know, our tendency, hasn't it been, and isn't it often, in this materialistic world, to look mainly on the things that we can see with our own physical eyes? I'll only believe it if I can see it with my own two eyes, someone may say. Except that in the current environment that we find ourselves in, we're being reminded of powerful, unseen realities that can either fill us with fear or faith. Fear or faith. The unseen reality causing fear right now is, of course, COVID-19. Where is this virus? I know it's there somewhere. I can't see it, but is it going to get me? Or one of my loved ones? How do I know I'm not coming into contact with it everywhere I go? Okay, you're 6 feet away, but do you have it? Do I have it? And I'm going to give it to you. I mean, we're supposed to stay pretty close to home, but we got to get food. We got to check the mail. I mean, we want to. We still got to pick up the paper that is delivered at the door if we're not getting it virtually. And what if that person has the virus? What if one of those few contacts that we have makes us sick or one of our loved ones? In these uncertain times, it's easy to be anxious, not only of this unseen virus, but of its consequences. Will I be able to keep paying my bills now that I'm out of work, no income, or very reduced? How am I going to cope with this isolation, this loneliness? And knowing who I am, I'm whoever that might be, will I be able to keep out of depression? And this all-important and very central fear, will I have enough toilet paper to get me through this time? Crazy, isn't it? What people do when they're anxious? Fear, anxiety is constantly present in one way or another. If it wasn't for what we're going through now, it'd be something else. It's there. It's always there. Just kind of lurking beneath the surface. And the nature of fear being what it is that it easily sneaks up on us without our permission. We think we're pretty relaxed. We're calm. We're in control. But suddenly we find ourselves feeling anxious. It might be the stress of having to change the way we live, trying to do our business in different ways, making quick changes on the fly, like from last night to today for worship. We think we're in control, but then fear sneaks up on us. And it can make us feel helpless or maybe even hopeless. It can steal our peace and our ability to focus, concentrate. When fears and worries strike, how good it is to read David's prayer in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And how does God deliver us from all our fears? When we seek the Lord, says verse 4. And when we look to him, says verse 5, which is to say, when we focus our faith on the unseen God, who is all-powerful and all-loving and who loves us, especially his people. When we focus on the unseen God with spiritual eyes of faith, faith in what we cannot see, faith in who we cannot see, but we know he's there. When we focus on our invisible, almighty God, the peace can come. Maybe not complete and total peace, although that's not beyond the realm of the experience of many of God's people. They're just completely at peace, and humanly you go, how can that be? I said it a few weeks ago, but I think it's worth repeating, that when we find ourselves feeling anxious about various different things, like the plummeting stock market, our decline in income, the growing number of people closer and closer to home who are getting sick, that's not just something in China anymore. It's not something just in Italy anymore. It's here. We find ourselves feeling anxious about all these things. Could it mean that we have lost our focus? We've taken away our focus on the one who can give us peace. And there are other realities that we can't see with our physical eyes. Things that can give us peace. We can't see them with our physical eyes. They're good realities that are just as real and factual as the bad things that we can and cannot see with our eyes. But we clearly believe in them. We believe that the COVID-19 virus exists, even though you can only see it under a microscope. We believe because we can see its effects. People get sick, people are panicking, they're hoarding, many are worried and fearful. But there are other invisible realities that God has provided to give us peace. For example, verse 7 speaks about the angel of the Lord who encamps around those who fear him. And by the way, fear. That's a different kind of fear, a good fear. Not one that paralyzes, but it's a respect and awe of the one who surrounds us and delivers us. But God has placed his angels all around us to protect us, to watch over all who trust and respect God. Do we believe this? That there is an unseen world all around us? With unseen creatures whom God has made to look after his people? And, of course, the human beings he's put in our lives to take care of us. Thank God for doctors, for nurses, for scientists who are looking for a cure. Grocery store attendants, thank them. Even though there might be a plexiglass screen between you and them, thank them. They're worried. They contact a lot of people. They touch the food that was put on the conveyor belt, and there's people that we could be thankful for. But behind all of these helpers, seen and unseen, and better than them all, we have God himself, who lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit, who is our comfort and our peace. Now, some even think that the angel of the Lord that's mentioned in verse 7 is actually Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. The word angel means messenger. And Jesus, of course, is the best messenger that God has ever sent. He came with the message that I am your salvation. I am your peace. I am your hope. In many places in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is thought to be Jesus Christ, who was making his appearance in numerous times and places long before he came in the flesh in New Testament times. This is the God who promises in Psalm 91 to save us from the deadly pestilence as we find refuge or rest or peace under the shadow of his wings. His faithful promises are your shield and protection, says Psalm 91, verse 4, so that you will not fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Verse 6, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Lord your refuge, then no harm will befall you. No plague will come near your home, says Psalm 91, verse 10. For God will command his angels to protect you wherever you go. And then back to the beginning of Psalm 91 in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We trust in God, that he is our refuge. Does trusting in God mean that no harm will ever befall any of God's people? Well, we know that's not the experience of God's people. Beloved people, God loves us very much, and yet some of God's people still suffer the same harm as other people. Faith in God does not automatically take away all earthly harm. Often it does, and we should pray for safety and deliverance. Prayer works, and living close to God, as is reflected in these Psalms, it works. God helps those who seek him. It does give an edge over those who do not pray. Not that we're in competition, and we should be praying for those who don't pray, that God will bless them too. But those who trust in God are habitually and regularly delivered from many dangers, and many of us can testify to that. But sometimes faith in God doesn't prevent hardship or even death to God's faithful ones for reasons that we don't always understand. But faith in God does remove our fears and gives us peace. Through faith in God and in his Son, whose perfect love proven on the cross, his perfect love which drives out all fear, says 1 John. Through faith in God, we can live without fear of all these different dangers. We need to take precautions. We shouldn't take unnecessary risks or live recklessly. But faith in the unseen reality of God faith and his good care in this life and in the next can give us peace in these anxious times. As it says in Psalm 91, verse 1, trust in God helps us rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And even just the shadow of God is safer than the strongest facial mask or isolated shelter. Just God's shadow can keep us safe and at peace. I know that you believe this, but we need to be reminded in times like this. I'd like to end with a few testimonies of faith in these anxious times. They come from our own teens who wrote their testimonies down recently after attending either the teen or junior teen club retreat. The first teen I quote, and all of these testimonies were written down and given to all the congregational members, they're public. But the first teen writes this about his trust in God. I was stressed out about my life and worried about the present and the future. But Jesus comforted me at this retreat and told me many, many incredible things. It didn't matter what I did before or what I would do in the future. He would always come for me, and there was nothing he wouldn't do to save me. I told him I would mess up, and I was worried about being a good Christian. But Jesus told me that if I committed myself to him, he would be there every step of the way to guide me through everything. The last but most important thing Jesus told me was to let go. Because I admit that I have always had a problem with worrying. Throughout my life, I've always been stressed out, and I'd worry over many things. I always tried to do things alone, and I always wanted to be in control of my life. But that night, Jesus told me that I didn't have to bear this burden alone. He told me I should let him have control of my life, and I wouldn't have to worry about anything, and he would always help me with my troubles. Beautiful for the times we're living in, hey? Thank you for that testimony. Here's another one, also connected to worry. At our teen club Radiate retreat, I felt as if Jesus were telling me that I can go to him whenever I want, and I don't have to be worried or anxious. That it didn't matter what I'd done in the past or how I am now, he will never leave me alone, and nothing can stop him from loving me. This encounter made me feel so much better about going to God by knowing that no matter what, I have a Heavenly Father who will always be there for me. Now I don't feel as guilty or scared. Isn't God so awesome? And one more from one of our junior teens. One of the songs that spoke to me at that weekend retreat was, "You are the light in the darkness." I felt that God was talking to me at that time, and also through many other songs at camp. Now that camp is over, I feel changed, and it was all according to God's plan. Everything that happens to us is part of God's plan, for we live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We live by faith, not by sight. And there's the truth right there. There are lots of unknowns in the days ahead. Will we flatten the curve and prevent or slow down the number of people getting sick? Will we minimize the number of deaths? How long will it take before we get back to normal? Will we ever get back to normal? And what does normal look like anyway in a fallen world? All of these unknowns can fill us with anxiety. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, writes Paul in 2 Timothy, but of power and of love and of self-control. When we trust in the Lord and seek him, he will answer us and deliver us from all our fears. And he will give us his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. When peace like a river, we're going to sing that well-known song to be reminded of the peace that is ours in Jesus. This time we are going to bring our prayer requests to God in our congregational prayer. One prayer request that I received this morning from Fred and Evelyn Van Laer, since the printing of the bulletin, and I do encourage you in future to please email me your prayer requests. But their brother-in-law, Gerald Prinzen from Edmonton, is suffering from stage 4 prostate cancer. He's the grandfather of the family of four that was killed in South Africa last year. So this family has been going through a lot of heartache. So we're going to pray for them as well as others. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess you to be our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. You are our strength. You are our peace, body and soul, in sickness and in health, in times of certainty and uncertainty, in all things, through Christ, you are our strength. And so we worship you, and we seek your help too. Lord, give us strong faith, we pray. Deliver us from fear, and give us your peace. We ask for the gift of faith for all people in the world. God, could it be that these times might cause people to look to you when they were not looking to you before? Help all of us to realize how vulnerable we are and how very much we all need you. God, we pray together for the safety of frontline workers, for hospital caregivers, for EMS workers, for fire and police servants. We pray for scientists around the world that we might be able to find a way to protect against this. We pray for our political leaders. We pray that you will give them mental and physical strength. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made quickly and each day, and things are changing. Give them wisdom, Lord, for what's best for all of us. We pray, Lord, for the most vulnerable, for our elderly, for those whose immune systems are compromised. We pray for Joan Shasma. We pray for Mika Buseman. We pray for Michael Eigenram. Thank you that he is now on the donor list for a new kidney. But that could take a while, not only because of the wait before surgeries and other needed but less urgent surgeries have been canceled. We pray, Lord, that you will provide in due time. God, we pray for Fred and Evelyn's brother-in-law, Gerald, and his family, also as they continue to grieve the loss of so many. God, be their peace. Be Gerald's peace in anxious times. God, in this upset time, thank you that we can still get food and other necessary supplies. Thank you for giving us our daily bread. Thank you that we are your people and that we can still be church. Help us find new ways to serve you and each other and our neighbors too, Lord, in the days ahead. Please bless our attempts to continue various ministries as best we can. Bless our teens and junior teens as they meet through video conferencing. Bless our council, its elders and deacons, as they seek to respond in the best way. Our staff, as we seek to work together and yet apart. We pray for those who can't meet and are missing the ability to meet. We pray for our friendship club, for our GEMS and cadets, and for our Sunday school children who miss being with their friends on Sundays or in school during the week. Help them to be able to learn still. Bless the teachers, Lord, who are working hard to still be able to teach them. We pray for small group Bible study groups that just can't meet together. Feed us, Lord, in different ways. Lord, in these troubled times, we look to you to be our strength and hope. We trust in you for the days ahead. And Lord, as you've taught us to pray, we pray together the Lord's Prayer, and I invite you to pray and say it together. We would say, forgive us our debts when we get to that part, and we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, Lord, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we now have the opportunity to worship God with our offerings, and admittedly, it calls for a different response and different ways to give in your bulletin and on the screen too. But first of all, let me just point out that our first offering, as always, is for our Crosspoint Ministries as we try to continue that and taking care of the bills and paying staff. The second one is for Refugee Sunday, supporting refugees due to natural disaster or persecution or a civil war, perhaps. And there are ways to give generously. Jerry, could you please put that? That next slide, is it up? Oh, it's there. Sorry, I have a different slide back there. Okay, so you can see different ways that you can give up there. You can give on the Give tab on our website. You can go to the Bridge app. I just did that this morning, figured out how to give to World Renew, and it's quite simple to do that. You just go to the Bridge, and it'll set that all up for you to give either to the first offering or to the second offering. You could fill out right now, and I encourage you, as an act of worship, when we start singing that song during the offering, take your regular budget envelopes, if that's how you give. Put in your checks. Checks would be preferred to money because of the risk. And if you get a chance, it might not be for a week or two, drop it in the mail slot at church, and we will, in due time, take care of that. But there's all these new ways to give as well, and we encourage you at this time to, as an act of worship, give your gift to the Lord.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need oh God, how I need.
Please pray with me. Father God, thank you that we may still give to build up your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that there are ministries like World Renew. Thank you that their heart is still in these times to be able to respond to the needs around the world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the heart and the calling to keep supporting your work. Multiply it, bless it, bless us, Lord, as we give. Thank you that we can trust you to provide for all our needs, even as we share. Lord, we thank you, and as we go from here with your blessing and parting song, we trust your presence and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive this blessing, people of God. First, these words from Philippians 4, followed by the blessing that's there, where Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And as you do, the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen."
Go, my children.